Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
I want to tell you what, it's been a great day already, right? It's good to see Captain O.A. Fish back with us. Went through some surgery and he's healing up rather well, and we just really appreciate that. Continue to pray for another one of our elders, Eddie Hutchins. He is struggling a little bit in his back, and Pastor John went over and prayed for him because it's hard for him to stand up with his back problem. How many of you know that that we have the fullness of Christ inside us? You don't have a little bit of him, you have the fullness of who he is. Everybody agree with that? You don't have a part of him, you have all of him. I love that thing about the fullness of Christ. I really do. Over in Ephesians, it talks about that we grow up and become a mature person, a mature man, mature woman in God, and we allow the fullness of who he is become to get to the place in us that we live out what's already in with our speech and with our behavior. I'm not waiting on any more of him to come to me because I already have him, the fullness of him. What he's waiting is for me to be in agreement with all the fullness that's in me. Amen. Sometimes I wonder about some things that, when we talk about the fullness of Christ. And the fullness of Christ, that in the fullness of Christ, he was a prophet. So, prophesying today is biblical. Some people want to push it aside, but it's biblical. Why the fullness? If he was a prophet. Here's another thing. The fullness of Christ inside me, he was a healer on the earth. I just don't understand why we can say we have the fullness of Christ, and yet we don't think healing is for today. We don't think prophecy is for today. But yet we say we have the fullness of Christ. It's so conflictive and so contradictory. It's just troubling. I have all of him, and so do you. But he's waiting for all of me to surrender to all of him in every area of our lives. Right? We want, okay, all right. I want to speak to you just a few minutes, really. And I know y'all are saying, you never do that. But I'm going to try my best today. We've been talking about this thing about being strong in the Lord and the power of his might, and how we're going to be the people, how we're going to be the people that is going to stand in the day of evil, like Ephesians tell us we should do. And here's another thing. The thing about putting on the armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the enemy, we read that last week. And it just dawned on me that I know why a lot of people don't put on the armor of God. Because they feel like God's let them down in an area or two. And when you do not trust him, it's hard to pick up his armor. When you do not fully believe in who he is and what he's able to do, what he's already done, and what he's doing in your life, then it's hard for you and I to be able to pick up the armor of God and stand in the evil day, because we don't know what we're standing on because we have so many doubts and so many unbeliefs. But that's what God is sorting out. God is peeling back a lot of the layers that sometimes of religion, sometimes of doctrines of demons that we've swallowed. And he said, no, that's not, that part's not me. I'm going to show you who I am. Amen. We talked last week about sitting, that he is Jesus, God raised Jesus up from the dead and he seated him in the heavenlies at the right hand of God. The right hand is the right hand of the power of God. And he's making intercession. Then it goes on down in Ephesians. It talks about that Ephesians 1. He says that not only did he raise him from the dead, he raised us up in him. And he has seated us with him in the heavenlies. Above all the principalities, all the powers, all the rule, all the authority, above it all. Everybody say, above it all.
Above all.
That's where you and I are seated, in him. And that's where our focus should always be. Last week we talked about we were formerly walking in darkness, but he changed all that with a but God. But God in his mercy and his love sent his son, and his son paid the price, and he made us to live together, and he raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That thing about heavenly places is pretty awesome to me, but we often run to the armor and try to put it on before we ever learned what we needed to learn being seated. And we get a little messed up. And I do think that God has taken us back to the basics, taking us back to the things that he wants us to understand and learn, and he wants us to be able to live out what he's put in. But it's hard to do that if we do not sit. Let me tell you something about seated with him. Over in Hebrews 1:10 it says, "But to which of the angels did he ever say, 'Sit at my right hand until I make enemies a footstool for your feet'?" Yeah, think about that for a minute. You're seated with him. I'm seated with him. So guess what's being made as our footstool? The enemies of God. If they're enemies of God, guess who else enemy they are? They're our enemies as well, right? And he said, "I'm making you a footstool." You know what that means? It means you get to see it and doing just like what this lady's doing. She's not even know I'm talking to her, like what you were doing. Stretch your feet out again. No, you're fine. You're fine. Stretch. She's seated and she's got her legs and her feet stretched straight out. That's what me and you get to do. We get to sit with him. And let's see if I can do this. We'll set a spell. Enemies. The enemies. I believe I'll just prop up on the enemies. Because I'm seated with him in the heavenlies. I forgot, this is on live stream. No, I didn't forget the enemies. Let me tell you something else about learning about seated with him. In the natural, and in Luke 10, verse 39, Mary, who moreover was listening to the Lord's words, seated at his feet. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations. Jesus said, "Martha, Martha, are you worried and bothered about so many things? But only a few of the things are necessary, really only one." Mary has chosen the good part. What part did she choose? To sit at his feet because he is speaking. And it also says, because she's done this, it shall not be taken away from her. What she learned while seated won't be taken away. What we learn while seated with him in the heavenlies, will not be taken from us. See, we have academic learning, and there's nothing wrong with academics. We need it. But if that's the only thing that you have in your walk with God, then you're going to become religious, and you're going to become prideful. See, God is bringing us to the place that we will have relational learning. Seated in him seated with him, the right hand of God. The reason it's so important for us to go back to being seated and being in that place to know that we're seated with him above everything else that's going on. Above every authority, every rule, everything that's happening, above everything, the reason we must be in that place for a season and a while at the beginning of our Christian life is because we won't start seating ourselves, because we'll be learning of him. See, this whole thing about being seated with him is a learning. It's a learning process. I'll share just briefly about some of the things that you'll be learning as you reckon yourself to be seated with him. See, it's about relational learning, not just reading books, and not just reading the Bible. I know people that know this Bible a whole lot better than I do as far as the contents of it, but they don't know him. You hearing me? So we have to capture this thing that I'm seated with him. So when something bigger than me comes, guess what? I'm over that. Not because I'm in him. Where is he? He's seated at the right hand of the God, right hand of the Father, the arm of power. That's where I am. That's where you are. And they will come. Bigger than you, they will show up. Do you know why the enemy comes with so many people, so many things, and so many numbers? Because he wants to ensure that he's going to win. But the Lord God, he takes just a few, just a remnant, just a small number, and takes the enemy out. Every battle that the enemy is able to win is the one that he's intimidated you to become an unbeliever. I'm not talking about an unbeliever that he's my savior. I'm talking about an unbeliever in the situation. I don't believe. I've heard people say, "You know, I've tried God. I've tried church. I've tried that, and it didn't work." Has anybody ever heard that? I've heard that so many times. Well, I've tried that, but it didn't work. That's not true. They may have tried it. And it's not about it didn't work. That's not true. I'll tell you what didn't happen. It didn't work them. It didn't work on them. So anytime we try something in God and we say it didn't work, the reason it didn't work us. God never fails. Never. God never fails. Amen. But see, we try to do a lot of things and try to run and walk and run before we've learned what we needed to learn while seated, while resting. Does that make sense? Said it will not be taken away from her, which means in the spiritual application is that when you and I learn things while we're seated and resting in him, not trying to get to the place to where I've got to work this thing up. That's the reason. That's the reason hype will not do it. We can hype you up. We can hype you to the place that, I mean, we'll have you all over this house, but you'll be empty afterwards. Does that make sense? It's not about hype. I'm willing for God to do whatever he wants to do, how he wants to do it. I didn't plan on this today. There was a call for the elders. Why was there a call? You saw the reason why there was a call. People needed prayer. People needed healing. I said, we don't hype that up. That's biblical. That's a biblical thing that we sit in. So this thing about sitting, another thing is Jesus says over in chapter 11 of Matthew verse 28, come to me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If you're wore out, the promise of Jesus is, if you are wore out, you're just absolutely just wore out, he says, come to me, and I'll give you rest. In other words, he will give you a refreshing from that labor and from that toil. That's the rest that he gives you. But see, the other verse in the same passage says, while you're resting, and this is the intention, take my yoke upon you. What's his yoke? It's found over in Isaiah. He says, a child will be born and the what? The government will be laid upon his shoulders, will be placed upon his shoulders. The government of God. What governs Jesus? The government of God. His love for his Father. Take my yoke upon you. Notice he didn't say, I'll give you my yoke. He didn't say that. My yoke is available for you to take. My yoke is available. What governs me is available for you to pick up. And let it govern you. He said, if you do that, he said, and learn of me. Once again, at a place of rest. And learn of me. And learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart. Watch this. And you shall find rest for your soul. So the first rest was physical. First rest was, hey, I'm weary, I'm heavy laden. He said, okay, I'm going to give you rest. He said, but while you're resting, I want you to take what governs me. Take my yoke and put it upon you. Take it upon your shoulders and learn of me. You're resting. You're sitting today because you're learning. You're sitting physically. They have the students to sit physically to learn. See, in the spiritual, you learn more when you're at a place of rest instead of a place of distraction. A lot going on. Martha had a lot going on, a lot of distractions. Matter of fact, complained to the Lord, why ain't that helping me? Don't you care? Tell her to get in this kitchen and help me. No, it was a time to rest. And when it's a time to rest, it's time to listen. It's a time to learn. So what are we learning? This learning relationship, this relationship of learning, I should say, is our position. Then we have a relationship of living. That's our walk. Then we have a relationship of landing. That's our standing. We want the relationship of landing way beyond we've ever learned to be seated. And way long before we've ever learned to walk. And that's the reason we have so many people not able to do the warfare, not able to do it because we don't even trust him, and yet we're trying to put on his armor. I don't know. I sort of doubt this. Won't be able to stand. And the evil day is here, and more evil's coming. Gross darkness is on its way. But don't be afraid. You and I are going to rise and shine. For the glory of the Lord has risen upon us. That's his character. The character of God has risen upon us, and we're going to show forth his glory. We're going to show forth his character. Over in Revelation, it said, you know how you can take out the enemy, pull down the accuser? They overcame the accuser. How? Blood of the Lamb. What is that? That's your relationship. That's you being seated. Blood, he took care of all of that. What's the next one? The word of our testimony. That's us walking out what we've learned while we were seated. And then here comes the last one. And they love not their life even unto death. That's your standing. This is where I'm standing. We're going to have to be a standing church, but we're going to have to be a seated church, learning while being seated, and we're going to have to be a walking church to walk out what we've learned. And then we're going to have to be able to take, after we do everything, that's what the Bible says, after we do everything, then you'll be able to stand. Yep. Be able to stand. So what are we learning? We're going to be taught about God, Jesus, God the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Wives don't even know who they are as the Trinity. So when you begin to look at all that God has done and what God is able to do, we're scratching the surface. It's a place, this sitting is a place that we learn to trust, we learn to believe, we learn His word, we learn His ways, we learn His works, we learn His nature, we learn His plan, we learn His attributes, we learn His character. We learn who we are in Him. We learn our place in Him. We learn the purpose that He has for our life. We learn the power that is available for us in Him. This is while seated. We learn how to have constant strength in His joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Whose joy is it? It's the Lord's. It's the Lord's joy for me that strengthens me. A lot of people think, well, I don't have joy in the Lord. Well, that's not what he's talking about. He said, the joy of the Lord strengthens me. Why does he have joy? He sees you. He sees you through Jesus. We learn his majesty. We learn his love. We learn his grace. There's a lot of people that know about the love of God, but they don't feel the love of God. You know why? They haven't seated long enough to know that he truly loves them. Academic will not make you passionate. The relational learning will bring you to a place of relational landing. You'll be able to land where you're supposed to land and stand there because of him, because he's already proved to you while sitting and letting you know who he is, what he's able to do, what he's done, what he can do in the future. And who we are in him. We'll learn to abide in him. We learn to host his presence. See, a lot of us said, yeah, Jesus is in me. But do you know how to host him in you? You learn how to abide. You learn how to host his presence. You learn intimacy. The army that's out fighting an intimidator, and only took one to intimidate the whole army of Israel. He's pretty big, but he was out there intimidating them. They'd come out and make war signals and war sounds and roar and all that kind of stuff. And as soon as Goliath stepped out and he let his presence be known, we'd go back to the holes. The Bible said they went back to their holes. Don't know how to stand. Why? We got an academic way of knowing about God, but relationally, he's too big to hit. David came on the scene, 16, 17 years old. You know what he says in so many words? He's too big to miss. He ain't too big to go hit. He's too big for me to miss him. Why did David do it? David knew the intimacy of his Lord. He spent time worshiping, being intimate with him, singing to him, abiding in him. Then he's just on a chore going out to give bread and cheese. He's on an errand. He's a helper. He's just a shepherd, just a little boy tending sheep. But while sitting, and while he learned about his God, he started walking. Wait just a minute. I'm hearing all this stuff going on. We're going to do something about this. And his walk led him to run. He ran to the enemy. He didn't stroll, didn't walk. He wasn't intimidated. But he proclaimed who his God was. How did he know who his God was? He'd already spent some time sitting, learning the relationship of his God. And it rose up inside him to take a stand, and stand he did. And that's what God's doing inside us. Okay. Thank you for giving me a few extra minutes. We're going to continue this. But I want you to know that a lot of times we need to be sitting. We need to be learning from him relationally, so we can face any storm, attack, battle, or war that is forthcoming. Do you believe that?
Yes.
He's doing that inside you. He's doing that inside me. He's doing that inside the church that he is building. I'm sort of like Francis Frangipan when some of them say, well, you think you charismatics are going to make it to heaven? Francis, in his love for life, says, oh yeah, we just don't want to overshoot it. Why? He knows his God. If God's for you, who can be against you? So let's just be like the Clampets. Set a spell. Take your shoes off. Learn as you're sitting. I remember a message years ago. I was preaching a message, and I said something about, you know, this is happening, and what's the first thing you know? Shane Searcy was back there, and he lifts his voice and says, oh, Jed's a millionaire. First thing you know, old Jed's a man. I got it. Well, the first thing you know, here you are standing against a huge force, and you realize and you know you're way above it. And you're seated with him, and you've learned his ways, you've learned his word, you've learned his purpose. And you've walked it through, and here you are taking a stand to take down the intimidating voice that is holding the group hostage. Think it not possible? It's possible. I'm telling you, it will happen. I don't know where it's going to be, but it'll happen. I'm ready. Are you? I'm ready to sit a while. I'm ready to learn as I sit. I'm ready to gather it all in, and I'm ready to walk out what I've learned. You learn to worship at his feet. What you get as you worship at his feet and as you learn from his words, Jesus himself said, you will not lose it. It won't be taken from you. I believe him, don't you? Amen. Let's stand together. what's awesome day to day. I really love the Lord. I think he knows how to orchestrate everything. He knows how to put things together. But I will say this, if there's anyone in here that does not know him as Lord and Savior of your life, now's your time. The very one that we talked about stands with open arms to take you in if you're ready to say yes to him and repent of your sins and say, Lord, take me. I'm yours. Is there anybody here that would like to do that today? Just lift your hand if that's you. Anybody here? Amen. Brother Doug. Amen. Praise God. Brother Doug. Praise God. He'll spend some time with you. So good. So good. Anybody else that you want to make it right today? Maybe you have doubts and you want to get rid of those doubts. Okay. By the way, Israel couldn't go into a rest because they had doubt, unbelief, and disobedience. And they couldn't enter in to see it. But we enter in, right? Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we just ask your blessings upon what's going on right here. We thank you, God, that all this day has been yours. Yes. Lord, we dedicated it to you when I woke up this morning. It's your day. And Lord, even though it's 12 after 12, God, it's still your day. So even after this prayer, this day is still yours, and we dedicate it to you, and we love you, and we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. God bless you, church.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org. Or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.